Parsha Shmini describes the climax of the Shiva Simei HaMiluim, and among the karbanos that the Torah says had to be brought was an egel ben bakar lachatos and a seir izim lachatos. And that, no doubt, is somewhat surprising. Why is it that a karban chatos would be brought on the times of the miluim? Why is it a seir? Why is it an egel? Perhaps one would have thought, you know, there is a Mishnah in Shu'as and Daf Yadalid that tells us, Eimo Sifin al Ha'ir Valazara. If you want to go ahead and expand the boundaries of the Mikdash Hashem, so it's appropriate to bring a Karban Toda. That's a moment of incredible Shevach Vahodah. And somewhat surprising that the Karban Chatos is brought at the time of the Miluim. So the Ramban quotes the Toras Kohanim that tells us a stunning line that Yesh Biyadechem Betchila B'Yesh Biyadechem Lebasov. That somehow that Bnei Yisrael was guilty, there were chataim that Knesset Yisrael committed, and that required a certain kapara. And part of the Hakamas HaMishkan was a kapara for those chataim. What exactly were the chataim? Well, one chait, of course, early on in Bereishis, is the chait of Mechiras Yosef. And of course, then later, at the time of Kabbalah Satar, the chait of the Egel Hazav. The chait of Mechiras Yosef involved the Seir, and the Egel Hazav, of course, that was the chait of the Egel. And therefore, the Ramban writes, the stunning Toras Konim, that Ba Ha'egel mechaper al-maisa ha'egel, and yavo se'ir v'yechapa maisa se'ir. That is exactly why at this point in time these karbanos were brought. One is keneged the chait of Mechiras Yosef, the other is keneged the chait of the egel hazahav. In what sense really is that true? We discussed earlier in Parshas Kisisa that what exactly was the chait ha'egel. If you look, for example, in Medrash Tanchuma, you look in the Ramban, if you look in the Kuzari, it's found in Mamarishon and Perek Tzadi Zayin, that they all emphasize that it wasn't necessarily overt Avodah Zarah, but rather it was a terribly misguided and a misplaced Avodah Hashem, that their intent perhaps was something that was genuine, but what they did was absolutely catastrophic. The difficulty, the Ramban points out, that you know what, that they became over-reliant on Moshe Rabbeinu. And you know what, that they were concerned that Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was not going to appear. And somehow now it was necessary to have a means to be able to channel one's Avodas Hashem. The Kuzri goes as far as to assume that, you know what, that it's not so unusual that we have like a Beis HaKnesses. We have a Beis HaMedrash, we have places that are tangible places of Hashras HaShechina. So the thought that something concrete was necessary was not necessarily so foreign. And if that really was the case, so what was it about the Chet HaEgel that was considered to be such a significant Chet? The Beis HaLevi there writes at length in Parshas Kisisa that, you know what, as great as one's intent is, and maybe your mindset is, you know what, in a certain level, l'shem shamayim. But when it comes to Avodas Hashem, you always have to make sure of one thing, and that is kasher tziva Hashem, that it conforms with the tzivui Hashem. You know, a person could be doing something very, very much l'shem shamayim, that this is necessary to enhance our avoda. But at the end of the day, you have to make sure that this is consistent, of course, with the tzivui Hashem. And the Beis HaLevi writes that at very great length, that's why posuk after posuk after posuk, when it comes to the Mishkan and Hakamas HaMishkan, the posuk always emphasizes kasher tziv Hashem. Because after all, if something is necessary physically to channel kelim, avoda, a makom mikdash, a place of hashras hashchina, but you have to make sure that this is consistent with the tziv Hashem in and of itself. So therefore, that is a link between the Chet HaEgel and the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMishkan and Hakamas HaMikdash. That perhaps in a certain sense there is indeed a commonality, and that is that both in principle could have served as channels toward Avodas Hashem, but what distinguishes the Chet HaEgel from The mitzvah savoda is exactly that point of atzivui, v'tzivui Hashem. So therefore, if that really is the essence of, so you understand very well what the Ramban writes, that here, that we're building a Mishkan Hashem, but absolutely necessary, in order to emphasize that this differs significantly from the Chet HaEgel. At the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan, we're bringing an Egel Ben Bakar L'Chatos in order to recognize that what was done in terms of the Chet HaEvel was grievously wrong. And this is fully appropriate because it conforms to the Tzivi Hashem. When you look at Meshech Chachma, for example, Meshech Chachma writes, that's why the Torah tells us that Bezalel, who the architect of the Mishkan Hashem, now Ben Uri Ben Chur, why does it ascribe Bezalel's Yichas to Chur? Chur, you know, no, was the one who did not participate in the Chet HaEgel. Chur was Moser Nefesh, that Klal Yisrael should not participate in the Chet HaEgel itself. And the Meshech Chachma writes the following in Shmos Lamed Beis Yotes, that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Bnei Yisrael were committing the Chet HaEgel, so therefore that's why Moshe Rabbeinu engaged in Shviras Aluchos, telling us Chiddush the Meshech Chachma writes almost a sense of Amida Keneged Mida, that you know what, that here I'm holding the Luchos Hashem. But the Luchos Hashem, which literally was forged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only reason it has any Kedusha was because of Tzivui Hashem. And without that, it doesn't have any special significance. Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you're serving an Egel. I'm coming down with the Luchos. Maybe you would think that the Luchos should be a focus of Avodas Hashem. And therefore the Meshech Chachma writes that Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos in order to indicate that even that which Michtav Elokim only has value, if indeed there is a Tzivui Hashem, that this should play a particular part in terms of the Avodah. I would just add very simply that with this in mind, if that is the turning point, the difference between Chet HaEgel and a Mitzvah Avodah, Kasher Tzivui Hashem, so imagine what happens now. It's the day of HaKamas HaMishkan, it is considered to be Yom HaShmini, and all of a sudden, Nadav and Aviv. What exactly was the attempt of Nadav and Aviv? It wasn't an act of Avodah Zarah, no? Uchora was an act of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem, no? After all, isn't it appropriate to go ahead and to engage in this form of Avodah at the time of HaKamas HaMishkan? Yeah, but why was it that the Misa of Nadav was so immediate, so apparent? Why was that true? Apparently that what they attempted to do would somehow undermine exactly what the Mishkan and Mikdash was supposed to represent. If the essence of Mishkan and Mikdash Hashem is Kasher Tziv Hashem, Kasher Tziv Hashem. So imagine, on this day of HaKamas HaMishkan, you're offering an Eish Zara. And as the pasuk continues, Asher lo tzivu osam, without any tzivu whatsoever. It's not that Nadav Aviv was an attempt toward an avodah zarah, but it was an attempt toward avodas Hashem, but without the license of the tzivu Hashem. That was exactly the lesson of HaKamas HaMishkan. That's why it was necessary to bring an egel ben bakar l'chatos to tell you that as lofty as one's mindset must be, you have to recognize it has to be licensed by the Tzivui Hashem. And that why that attempt to undermine met such an immediate consequence. That's something I would tell you that's striking. I would tell you it's true even when it comes to the other half as well. You know, the Gemara tells us that the Shabbos Taftes, that the chet of Mechiras Yosef was one of Sinas Chinam. And how was it that the Mishkan and Mikdash Hashem was somehow supposed to serve as a kapara for that? I think that's clear. There's so many marmakomos, one after another. What is the purpose of Mishkan and Mikdash Hashem? You know, on one level, of course, it's a place of Hashras Hashchina. That certainly is true. But I will tell you clearly beyond that, that the Ramban writes, the essence, the purpose of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash is supposed to capture and preserve Mamad Har Sinai. And that's what the Ramban writes in all the parshios, no, in the second half of Shmos, that when you look carefully in those parshios, you're going to see the Torah describes the Mishkan Hashem the very same way the Torah describes Mamad Har Sinai. In what sense is that true? So number one, Shechina. Oh, that's the Ramban Shita, that the essence of Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaShechina. Unlike that Ram, we've discussed many times, that it's a Beis HaVoda. According to the Ramban, it's a Beis HaShechina. And that's why the Ramban Lashita says, Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah, Lamed Gimel, feels that the Kelim are not part of the Mitzvah Vasli Mikdash. Vasli Mikdash means you have to create a Beis HaShechina, a Beis HaShechina. And therefore, Lav Dafka Beis HaVoda. So therefore, the Ramban writes, the Klei Avoda are not part of us, the Mikdash HaShechanti V'Zochem. A Beis HaShechina comparable to Mamad Har Sinai. And that's why the Pasuk says, U'chvod Hashem Maliyas HaMishkan, just like the Pasuk says, U'chvod Hashem Maliyas HaHar. After all, the Torah describes it in the very, very same way. And there is one more requirement of Mamad Har Sinai. This, the Rechaim points out, is not just incidental, but it's a prerequisite. A prerequisite. No, and that is that Vayichan Sham Yisrael. When Rashi tells, you know, Ish Echad, Lev Echad, that wasn't just, you know, an observation, but that was essential. That was essential. Kabbalah Sar and Mamad Har Sinai required the Akdus of Knesset Yisrael. You know, that's what the Rechaim writes in Parshas Yisrael. That was a precondition. That would not have happened. We wouldn't have been Zochet to Kabbalah Sator Mamad Har Sinai if it would have been any different. Because after all, the Torah Hashem was given to Knesset Yisrael as a single unit, as a whole. And therefore, that is something that's critical. I've often commented that Gemara, Yuma Daf Tes, that the Churban Habayis of Bayis Rishon was because of Averos HaChamuros. The Churban Habayis Sheni was because of Sinas Chinam. I will tell you that there's a difference. When I speak about the Churban Habayis Rishon as a result of Averos HaChamuros, I would express it the following. The Churban Habayis Rishon was an onesh for the Averos HaChamuros. What about when it comes to Habayis Sheni? An onesh for Sinas Chinam? I would say perhaps somewhat differently. It was a consequence. It was a necessary repercussion of Sinas Chinam. If the entire purpose of the Mikdash Hashem is to unite Knesset Yisrael, Yerushalayim habenu yakir shechur v'lo yachdav, so if that is not happening, so therefore the Mikdash Hashem is rendered useless. The purpose is to serve as chativa achas. And therefore, both are true of Mamad Har Sinai. Both are true of Mamad Har Sinai. Mamad Har Sinai was Hashvas Hashchina. Mamad Har Sinai was the time of Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. That has to be the focus of the Mishkan, the Mikdash Hashem. Hashras Hashchina, of course, but also the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. In that sense, that Churban Habayis, Sinas Chinam, we say Mefurish in the Kinas and Tisha B'Av, no? The Asar Hur Gemalchos are Keneged the Achi Yosef, no? Meaning that the Churban that we experience, that is clear in Churban Habayis, right? Its roots were found in, you know, Mechiras Yosef. And the purpose of the Mishkan is to undo. So that's exactly why part of the Karbanos that were brought on Yom Shmi Lumim was a Seir Izim Lachatos, a Seir. Where? That's exactly what the Torah's Konim writes, is that Yavo Seir V'yechaper Amaisa Seir. Now, that's exactly the two Karbanos that you find at the time of the Kamas HaMishkan. Kapara is needed for the Cheta Egel in terms of the Avod, the Ashras HaShechina, Kasher Tziv Hashem. And the second dimension was a Cheta Mechiras Yosef, an Avon HaSinas Chinam, that had to be corrected, be directed by. And here I'll take it a step further and argue as follows, that when you look at the chet of Nadav and Avihu, I would say it was a chet on two different levels. It was a chet, number one, in terms of Avoda, Kasher Tziv Hashem. And that's exactly what the Pasuk says, that they offered an Eish Zara Asher Lo Tzivosam, Asher Lo Tzivosam. But there is a Gemara in Erev, in the Samach Gimel, that emphasizes another dimension to the chet of Nadav and Avihu. Imagine, for example, that you know a person has this idea, right? This chidush davar. Now, you know what? This is an appropriate thing to do in terms of avodas Hashem. So I will tell you two things are necessary. No, there's such an itziv, meshiv davar, and simin memvo. Now, when it comes to innovation. Well, obviously, you have to make sure mamash l'shem shamayim. You have to make sure the innovation is appropriate. But I'll tell you something else is necessary, you know? You come up with this great idea, a great idea. You know what I will tell you? Before you implement your great idea, you know what I think you have to do? I think you have to consult, no? I think you have to consult, no? Lo ani tchilas hakadusha. Nadav and Avihu came up with this great idea, no? On the final day of the miluim, on Kamas HaMishkan, this should be done. This should be done. So, you know, before you run with it, and before you say, this should be done, you know what I would tell you, I think is a very, very good etza? You know what? Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there. No? Aaron HaKohen is standing there. You know? Why not bounce it off of them? No? Why not go ahead and ask them whether this is or this is not appropriate? No? Wouldn't that be the appropriate thing to do? You have this wonderful idea, you know, the yeshiva should do this, the yeshiva should do that. You know what I'll tell you, before you just start running with it, you know, it'd be a great idea, the yeshiva should have off for another 2 months in order to, well, let's talk about it, let's consult, let's see what, well. So that's the signature of Sama Gimel, that, you know what, this was not accidental, but this was deliberate. That, I will tell you, is part of the meaning of Nadav and Avihu being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. That, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu is there, Aaron HaKohen is there, and all of a sudden, that you know, no, let's do the Avodah in a very, very different way. And the language of Chazal is very, very critical, no? Masa Yamusu Shnei Hazakenim Alola. No? It was very deliberate that they didn't shol Eitzah to Moshe Rabbeinu Aaron HaKohen, because they felt that, you know, it wasn't necessary. Their manhigus was good for them, but you know what? This is a new era that requires kind of a new form of avoda. Imagine what the impact of that would have been. Now, all of a sudden, Avin Avihu doing avoda in a different way, without the consent of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. You know what I would have argued? That would have been the greatest rupture of the Achdus of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, by them offering that karban, number one as an ezara, number two without any level of consultation, I would tell you that was a fallback to the chet ha'egel and the chet of mechiras yosef. And the whole purpose of hakamas ha'mishkan is supposed to be a kapara. So we have these two grievous chatayim, one in terms of the mandate of avoda, the other in terms of the union of Knesset Yisrael. And you have to seek a kapara. And that's why on this particular day, an egel and a seer brought as a chatos, not as a carbon toda, a chatos is brought in order to serve as a kapara. And all of a sudden now, subsequently now, a carbon is brought that is an ezara zara without the consultation of Moshe Rabbeinu in Aaron HaKohen. That, I would tell you, attempted to undermine that sense of the essence, the kedusha, of what the Mishkan was supposed to represent. And that's why that the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the act of Nadav and Avihu was so obvious and so evident, so immediate, because after all, that was the entire lesson of the Mishkan Hashem. Whether you're talking about Avodas HaKarbanos, or Avodas Hashem in general, or especially Avodas HaTfilah. No, that Tzivui Hashem, and that Achdus of Knesset Yisrael is considered to be that which is absolutely, absolutely necessary. This, I would tell you, just the next step, I think is one of the most central ideas of Tefillah and Avodas Hashem. And that is the Kasher Tziva Hashem. Kasher Tziva Hashem. That in order for any Avoda to be legitimate, clearly it has to be licensed. It has to be something that is a function of the Tzivui Hashem. When you look in the Gemara Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel Beis, that's where the Gemara tells us about that Shliach Tzibur. No, the Nachis Kamei Rabbi Chanina. No? he davened from the Amud in the presence of Rabbi Hanina. And he started with the Shmon Esrei, you know, the Chazaras Hashatz. And all of a sudden, no, Kel, Godol, Nibor, Benora, good, good, good. Adir, Ozuz, Yira, Chazak, Amit, Zvadai, Nichbad. Whoa, he started like going on and on and on, no? He probably thought that when he finishes, he's going to be praised for such a magnificent tefillah. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Hanina says to him, Siyamtina l'kula shvacha d'marach. That's all you could say? That's, what do you mean? I said more. All you said is Hakel Hagadol Gibor Benora. I said even more. Rabbi Hanina says that what do you mean? That why did you stop there? Why did you stop there? And Rabbi Hanina gave a mashal. No? Imagine the following, that you know what? You want to praise the wealth of the king, and the king has almost an infinite amount of gold, and Vahima Kansan Lo Bekesen, and you praise the silver. After all, v'halo gnayhulo, the Lashon HaGemara, no? You're degrading, you're debasing. Whatever you say about a Kadosh Baruch Hu is gonna fall short. It's gonna fall short. What right do you have to say about a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Nora and Adir and Uzzuz? What right do you have to say these things? That's absolutely wrong, no? That's the Mashal Mach Basar Adam that has Alfe Din Rezov and Makalsan Uso Bekesev. There's a beautiful comment that the Ritva has there on that daf, Brachos Naflamet Gimel, where the Ritva quotes the Rambam in Marne Vuchim. This Rambam is from Chelek Aleph in Perek Nuntes, where the Rambam writes, Rabbi Hanina's response was not just simply, you didn't praise Hashem enough. You said this, you could have said that. The difference was a difference in kind, not a difference in degree. You know what, if a person possesses gold and I praise his silver, that's different than praising his gold, but kind of underestimating how much gold he has. No, it's a different type of shevach entirely. That's what the Rambam writes in Marne Vuchim. Meaning that, realize that anything that you're going to say by essence, by definition, is going to fall short. It's going to fall short. And therefore, that's exactly what Rabbi Hanina, right, said to the Shliach Tzibur. That's the Rambam Marne Vuchim in Perek Nuntes. If you look one parak earlier in Parak Nunches, that's what the Ritva says. You look in the Rambam in Parak Nunches, that's the Rambam Shita, right? We call that in English negative attributes. No? Negative attributes, that's what the Rambam develops. We speak about Yud Gam Midos. The Rambam writes the following Yisod, that you know what? It's not that we're describing in any sense who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We're incapable of doing that. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachum. We can't fathom the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch. All we can infer from that Hashem is a kel, rachum, v'chanun, is a negation of the negative, no? A negation of the negative, no? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not kelis. But to understand the rachamim of Hashem, something that's beyond our reach. When you look in the Sefer Ikarim, that's found in Beis Chavdal, in the Sefer Ikarim, there Rabbi Yosef Albo describes that midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are attributes of action, of action. In other words, we can describe that which we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but we can't even begin to describe who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, no? So we can relate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that chesed, but there's no way in the world that we can begin to describe who indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's exactly what the Ritva points out. So the Shliach Tzibur gets up and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that. So Rabbi Hanina says, you're not allowed to do that, it's kfira, to be able to do that. No? And the Ritva adds, that this means you can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Ritva adds the following line, what about the Saper Niflosov, Nisov, Gvurosov? Let's assume, for example, a person just simply relates, I experienced this Yeshua. I experienced this Hatzalah. So then, who the Ritva writes, V'chol hamosif harezim meshubach. V'chol hamosif harezim meshubach. That a person can do, and the Ritva writes that, V'zel kol sefer tilim. No, that's what sefer tilim is. Not a description of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, but it's a description of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's a very important point. So that's what Rabbi Hanina said to Shliach Tzibur, that what right do you have to even suggest, to even begin? What right do you have to do that? So you'll ask me the following question. What right do we have to say, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora? What right do we have to do that? So that's exactly what Rabbi Chanina told this person. Ilav da'amrino Moshe Rabbeinu Baraisa. You know what? If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say this, we're just quoting Moshe Rabbeinu. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say this, and if not for the fact that va'asu anshei kneses hagdola betakdino betvila, and if not for the fact that the anshei gedola said this is the language of Shmoneh Esrei, guess what? We would not be allowed to do that. Lo havinu l'chon meimar lehu. In other words, you want to engage in tefillah. It's not that anything goes, right? You're incapable of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any shape or form. What do we have a right to do? I have a right to quote. I can quote Moshe Rabbeinu. This was, after all, that Shechina Medaberes B'toch Grono. If the Torah describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that fashion, guess what? So I have a right to quote the Pasuk. But you can't overreach. You can't go beyond. You look at the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Ches Simen Aleph. The Gemara quotes like a stunning memory of Rabbi Elazar. What is the meaning of the pasuk of Mi Yamala Gvuras Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehilasa? What exactly does that mean? So Rabbi Elazar explains the following: Lemi Na'el Lamala Gvuras Hashem. Who is able to describe the Gvuras Hashem? You know, only one such person. Mi Shiachal Hashmiya Kol Tehilasa. You only have a right to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you can do so accurately, if you can do so exquisitely. That's what Rabbi Elazar says, the meaning of the pasuk. Wow. Mi nal malakuras Hashem, only one who can be mashmiya kol tilosa. So Rashi immediately adds, ve'ein mi shiyachal l'saparas kulo. And no one can do such a thing. No one can do such a thing, no? That's another way the pasuk to say impossible. The only right you have to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if it can be a full description. Ve'ein miyachli l'saper eskulo. And no one is capable of that. So therefore what? Rashi writes, lefichach, ein nir l'saper midato, el mashatiknu chachamim. That's what Rashi writes. No? So you have no right to say anything. Just be quiet. The only thing you can do is you can echo. You can echo. What was said? What was said by Moshe Rabbeinu? No? Shechina medaberes b'kol krono. And if you look in the Gemara Megillah on that previous summit, Yizaman Beis, when the Gemara tells us the following, the Anshei Knesses Hagdola were misakein tefila, the Gemara uses the language, no, uvahem kama nevim. That's Lashon HaGemara. Uvahem kama nevim. The tefila of the Anshei Knesses Hagdola was instituted with Ruach HaKodesh. It wasn't that the Anshei Knesses Hagdola kind of just got together and said, what do you think is an appropriate tefillah? Should one say this? Should one say that? No, but it all has to be Yashmiya kol tehilasa. Rav Soloveitchik used to say this like in the following phrase, tefillah requires amati. Tefillah requires amati. Meaning, you can't just get up and daven when you want, how you want, what you want. You can't do that. You need something to permit you to do so. I would tell you that's exactly the essence of being a Parsha Shmini. You want to engage in Avodas Hashem, whether it's Avodas HaKarbanos, Avodas HaMikdash, or whether it's Avodas Shebelev, you have to make sure that there is a matir, there is a tzivui, there is a license. And if you deviate from that, that's the Chet HaEgel. If you deviate from that, that's considered to be the Chet of Nadav and Avihu. When you look in the Torah, in the beginning of our Chaim in Simin Nun Aleph, there the Torah describes Psukei de Zimra. After all, isn't that exactly what the Gemara says in Brachos Naflam Abeis, Rabbi Simlai, La'olam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'achar Kach Yispalei. You know what? Before you engage in Tevila, it's appropriate to engage in Shevach. It's appropriate to engage in Shevach. Yeah, but how do I do that? How do I engage in Shevach? So you know what? Before I'm going to engage in the primary avoda, tefillah, Shmoneh Esrei, you know what? I'm going to engage in Shevach, Psukei de Zimra. So how exactly is that done? So when you look in the Rambam, for example, in Ochlas Tefillah, the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Halach Yud Beis, you know what you do? The Rambam writes, it's appropriate. Shekorei Zmiros Mi Sefer Tilim. No? And that's how the Rambam describes Psukei de Zimra. You know what? Take Sefer Tilim that was written Baruch HaKodesh, and you know what? That's an appropriate way to echo. That's something which is pretty striking. That, you know what, even for Psukei de Zimra, it's not that anything goes. And Rav Soloveitchik could often comment, that's the bracha Baruch Shamar. That's the bracha Baruch Shamar. You know what? I'm about to engage in Divrei Shevach. I recognize the Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Ches. So what do you do? You know what the answer is? The answer is that I'm not saying anything on my own. Anything on my own. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to simply use the magnificent structure, phraseology, right? And that's how you begin Psukei de Zimra. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look at the Siddur HaGra, it says in the Ma'aser Rav, this is found in Os Chavav, that the Minhag HaGaon was not to say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Levavi. Not to say, and a little bit unclear, why not exactly? Why not to say Mizmor Shir? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the following, that before a person engages in any type of shir, Psukei de Zimra, you need a matir, you have to set the stage, no? I'm incapable of doing so. So what am I doing? The answer is, I'm not doing anything on my own. I'm not being creative. No, I'm being very conservative. No, I'm echoing, right, the Pirkei Tilim of Davidim, and that's the role of Baruch Shamar. That's why the Megillah Ashkenaz is that Baruch Shamar begins the Psukei de Zimra. So that was the Kpeda of the Gaon, not to have, right, Divrei Shevach, or not to have Pirkei Tilim before Baruch Shamar. Baruch Shamar serves as the matir. And therefore, to begin with Uvishirei David Avdecha Nalelcha, that I'm going to engage in tefillah. Tefillah requires a matir. And therefore, we begin. And that's the link between Psukei de Zimra and tefillah. A person wants to engage in tefillah, but you recognize that tefillah requires Yashmiya Kol Tilosa. The answer is that Ein Nira L'Saper Midato. And that's the purpose then of the Psukei de Zimra. That's why there's such a link between Psukei de Zimra and Shemoneh Esrei. That's the Torah in Siman and Beis. It quotes the Gaonim of Natronai Gaon. That you only say Psukei de Zimra before Shemoneh Esrei. Before Shemoneh Esrei. Well, what do you mean you're going to say Psukei de Zimra afterwards? That's the Dion in the Torah. A person skipped. Should you even make up that which you skipped in order to daven the Tefillah Satzibur? No? Certainly not with its brachos. No. The miskeres of the brachos, is simply hachana. It's an introduction to the Shemoneh Esrei itself. Rabbi Kiviger writes in that siman, Nun Beis, if you skipped, you know, part of Psukei de Zimra and you davened, but you made a mistake in your Shemoneh Esrei and you have to be chozer, then Rabbi Kiviger allows you to start with Psukei de Zimra, no? Because you were Yotze, the Kiyum of Tefillah. So now you can kind of go back to the proper hachana. Or for example, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Ayin, that if the Mishnah says that women are obligated in Tefillah, it's obvious that they're obligated in Psukei de Zimra. So, because Psukei de Zimra serves as that Uvishirei David Avdech Nalelcha, the matir for tefillah, and that's something which is essential, something which is absolutely essential. It's an important yisod. And Rav Soloveitchik described, right, this approach, the matir of tefillah, so he pointed to the sugi and brachos and the chesim aleis. That's where the Gemara discusses that hani brachos keneged mi. We have a lot of different models for Shemoneh Esrei. No? We have a 7 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. We have a 9 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. 18 brachos, 19 brachos. The Gemara begins, you know, it sounds like, look, I got it. No, that, you know, where did the number 7 come from? Where did the number 9 come from? Where did 18 come from? Where did 19 come from? No? Yeah, but this is critical, no? Chazal felt the following, that if a person is going to engage in a Shemoneh Esrei, and the Shemoneh Esrei is going to have a minyan habrachos, you have to demonstrate, based on the psukim of Tanakh, that this is an appropriate minyan habrachos for tefillah. And if you can't do that, you have no right to daven such a Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, before Chazal could be koveya, a 7 bracha Shemoneh Esrei, a 9 bracha Shemoneh Esrei, 18, 19, so it was necessary to show the Makor Zav. Well, for example, the Gemara tells us the Chiddush that Mizmar the David is a classic parak of Tilim of Tefillah. That's our minute when we say Mizmar the David, we stand, no? We stand as though it's considered to be like a form of the Shemoneh Esrei. Oh, so the Gemara says the following. If you count those karos, right, in Mizmar the David, 18, oh, that's the basis of Yud Ches Brachos. That's what the Gemara suggests. And when it became necessary to add a bracha to Shemoneh Esrei, they had to find another source for a 19th bracha. Because you can't just simply add to without there being a matir. That's absolutely critical. You know, you look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara has 3 days in Tanayim. 3 days in Tanayim. Our minhag is like Rabbi Akiva. You know, the Gemara says the following. You know what? We have a problem on Rosh Hashanah, no? If you were to ask me, like, as a starting point, how many brachos should Musaf of Rosh Hashanah have? You know what the answer is? I would say 10 brachos. 10 brachos. Look, every Shemoneh Esrei has 3 and 3. No? First 3, last 3. Okay, that's good. So you have 6. And now, you have to mention the Kedusha Sayom. You have to mention that it's Rosh Hashanah, no? Without that, you're going to be Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, that's 7. And you have to mention Malchus, Sirchonos, and Shofros. No? So the 3 and 3, with Kedusha Sayom, with Malchus, Sirchonos, and Shofros, that's 10. So the whole sugya, no, Rosh Hashanah Flamed Beis, is solving the following problem. How do you accommodate all 10 themes in 9 brachos? No? That's the challenge. How do you squeeze all 10 into 9? And guess what? Our minug is like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, let's combine Malchios with Kedusha Sayom. Let's begin with the Kedusha Sayom. Oh, bracha 4. And as part of the Kedusha Sayom, we will incorporate Malchus. Well, Rav Soloveitchik pointed an amazing deal with Shem Reb Chaim, that when the Rambam mentions that our minhag is like Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam does not mention this in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam mentions it, you never look at the end of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam has something which is called the Seder HaTefillahs. The Seder HaTefillahs. The Rambam tells us Nusach, no? So it's interesting, this combination of Malchios together with Kedusha Sayom, the Rambam does not write in the Gufa Halachos, the Rambam just simply writes in the Seder HaTfilos. So the Diyuk, Rav Soloveitchik quoted out, B'Shem Reb Chaim, oh, a Chiddush, that this is only a Din HaChatchila, it's not Li'ikuvah. Only a Din HaChatchila. So I'll tell you the following, that, okay, what was the problem exactly? What was the problem? The solution is to combine Malchus and Kedusha Sayom. What was the problem? So the answer is that's the problem. When you look at that sugi and brachos and Daf Chavches, and the Gemara tells you the makoros for every tefillah, the Gemara tells us, based on Tefillah Schana and elsewhere, Ruach HaKodesh, that's the starting point. The Tefillah Sayom of Rosh Hashanah is 9 brachos. That's the makar. It's 9 brachos. So whatever I'm going to include in that tefillah, guess what? At the end of the day, it has to have the miskeres of tes brachos. That's the problem. We have 10 themes that somehow have to be consolidated into 9 brachos. The option of a 10 bracha Shemoneh Esrei is not an option. It's not an option. Because tefillah requires a matir, the matir of the minyan habrachos, just like the Gemara writes, it's true regarding the nusach habracha, but even regarding the minyan habrachos, that also requires, I just can't simply daven a 20 bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Chazal had to find makoros for every Shemoneh Esrei, And if the Makaros from Musaf Rosh Hashanah indicate 9 brachos, that's it, 9 brachos. So guess what? 3 days. Bavli, Yerushalmi, ooh. So what do you combine in order to have 9 brachos? And our practice is like Rabbi Akiva's, the Din L'Chadchila, to combine Malchus together with the Kedusha Sayom. With this in mind, Rav Slaveitchik gave, an incredible shir with incredible rayos, just simply the following. What happens if Yantif falls out on Shabbos? What does the Shmon Esrei look like when Yantif falls out on Shabbos? That's a machlokis, Beisilu Beishamai, Beitzadaf Yad Zayin. We spent a lot of time in Beis Daf Yitzayin, no? So the middle of the daf, Mar Bishir Mizamet Aleph. But the top of the daf is this question, right? The Yantiv Shechalios B'Shabbos. Now, what does the Shmon Esrei look like? What is Shmon? So Beis Shammai says, what do you mean? If Yantiv falls out on Shabbos, guess what? It's an 8 bracha Shmon Esrei. It's an 8 bracha Shmon Esrei. 3-3. And 1 bracha for Shabbos, 1 bracha for Yantiv. And Beis Hillel says, absolutely not, absolutely not. You combine Shabbos and Yantiv. You combine Shabbos and Yantiv. And the Gemara describes the combination. We assume, of course, we take it as the Raposhet, no? But that's against Beis Shammai, that's Beis Hillel. Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim, no? Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael V'Hazmanim. So, that's the Shita of Beis Hillel. So Slavetcha grazed Nun Iluya Shakasha, no, like what was bothering Beis Hillel? Was this something more technical, or was this something that is absolutely fundamental? No? You know what technical would mean? Technical would mean, I would tell you, this year. No? That just like the Gemara says, Ubrochas Chavches, that a Rosh Hashanah Shmon Esrei is 9. And that requires combination. Guess what? A Yantif and Shabbos Shmon Esrei is 7. It's only 7. 7 phrases in Mizmor LeDavid. And that was Chazal's Misora of the model of a Shabbos or a Yantif Shmon Esrei. So I'm going to tell you the same thing. Beis Shammai, you're right. You know what? My starting point would have been 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah, 8 brachas on Yantif Shechal Yosper Shabbos. But just like we don't have a source for 10 brachos, we don't have a source for 8 brachos. So therefore, necessarily, pragmatically, prudentially, combination is necessary. So very mistaber to combine the mid-bracha. No? You have the beginning, the first 3, last 3, now you have the midsection. So whatever you're going to do, make it into the miskeres of a single bracha. And apparently, Beis Shammai must have had a source for an 8 bracha Shmon Esrei. The Gemara doesn't mention, we pass like Beis Hillel. Or maybe one could argue something which I would say is more fundamental, right? This also is based on what we discussed last week. No, Hutra, Duchuya, no. Meaning what? How closely are Shabbos and Yantif related? How closely are Shabbos and Yantif related? We spoke about that to Baruch HaNefesh, no? Is it Kedusha Achas? Is it Shtei Kedushos? Clearly, according to Beis Shammai, if you're mentioning Shabbos and Yantiv separately, that means that the Kedusha Sayom is Shabbos, pause, Yantiv. No? Shtei Neshimos. No? Maybe when Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai, it's not just simply for more technical reasons that, you know, you have no choice but to combine, but maybe in principle, Shabbos and Yantiv are a blended Kedusha. Ooh. Especially when Yantif falls out on Shabbos. The Kedusha Siyom is not Shabbos Kami Yantif. It's Mamish B'Neshima Achas. No? A Yantif Shechal Yosper Shabbos. And therefore it makes sense, Mi'ikar Hadin, not problem solving, Mi'ikar Hadin, that the Kedusha and the Bracha of Kedusha should be that which is a Shabbos and Yantif. And I'll tell you the following. Maybe one could distinguish between Yom Kippur Shechal B'Shabbos and Yantif Shechal B'Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos. Maybe one could argue what's true of one case is not necessarily true of other cases. Maybe in certain cases it's mamish mishina achas, other cases it is not. It is not at all. You know the chiddush of Rabbi Yechiel Kuf Peches, if it's a Rosh Chodesh Shechal B'Shabbos, and you forget Yalav Yavo, let's say in benching, You have to be chozer. Because it's a Rosh Chodesh with a Chiyuv Suda. And we assume not that way, in Kupeches. No? We're going to treat the Azkar of Rosh Chodesh and the Azkar of Shabbos separately. That if you mention Shabbos, but forget Yalava, you're not chozer. So Rabbi Yechiel brings a great raya to his shita. You know, his raya is a little bit of a riddle, no? He says, the raya to my shita is Yom Shechai Bedala Tfilos. When's a day that you daven four tfilos during the day? No? Ooh, Yom Kippur. You know what the raya Rabbi Yechiel was? What happens if it's Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos? You ready? Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. Tov Kuf Chav Gimel. Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. And I forget to mention Shabbos. Of course you have to be chozer, no? The Shmona says, I forget to mention Shabbos. You ready for this? In Tefillas Ne'ilah. Guess what? We pass, and you have to be chozer. You have to be chozer. Well, what do you mean? Ne'ilah has nothing to do with Shabbos. Ne'ilah is only because of time is Sibur, because of Yom Kippur. But guess what? The Azkara of Shabbos is Li'ikuvah, because you didn't describe the Kedusha Sayom if you only mentioned Yom Kippur, not Shabbos, even though the Mechayiv of the Tefillah. Wow, that's Rabbi Nechiel's Raya. But you know what I once wrote? It's such a jump to say what's true of Shabbos and Yom Kippur is true of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. Because Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you know from last week, no? That's Mamish Kedusha Achas. That's Kedusha Achas. That's inseparable. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, certainly not. There the Kedushas are independent. And your failure to mention Rosh Chodesh does not impinge on the Azkar of the Kedusha Sayom. Now, what about Shabbos and Yom Tov? No? Well, we know Beis Hillel says combine the brachos. Beis Hillel's combination of brachos, is that because of technical reasons? Because the matir is only seven brachos? Or is it true in principle that just like Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Kedusha Achas? And Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos is Kedusha Achas. Maybe Yom Tov and Shabbos that are back-to-back, I'll call that Shtei Kedushos. But when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos and I ask you to describe the Kedusha Sayom, if you only mention this and don't mention that, guess what? That's not an appropriate description. So when I mention the bracha of Kedusha Sayom, it has to be a single bracha. It can't just simply be that, you know what, in principle, two indeed should be recited. This is the beginning of a very important halacha. I'll tell you, I think this is one of the most yesodas in Avodah Hashem. That you know what? All the lofty, incredible kavanas, Yesodas Hashem has to be rooted in Kasher Tziv Hashem, the Tzivui, the Tzivui Mishkan. You deviate from that, Chayta Egel. You deviate from that, Nadav Navir. You deviate from the Nusach HaTfila, Yachal Hashmiya Kol Tilaso. You really think that you're able to do so. And therefore, that exact sugya, Daf Lamed Gimel, Ahu Denachas Mikami, Rabbi Chanina. Maybe we'll see in the, maybe part of next week. Now the many, many more rayas to this Yisrael when it comes to Atfilas Tashlum and other forms of Tfila, the notion that Tfila requires a matter to engage in such a Avodah Shavuot.